This is Brian Cambria with the KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, December 3, 2013. Oxbow Mining announced yesterday operations at the Elk Creek Mine would be temporarily idled, as officials described it. The news comes after about 150 workers were laid off at the mine in Somerset in early October. The latest news means 115 more employees will be out of work for the foreseeable future. A statement from the company said the mine would continue operating with about 20 employees and would still be producing and offering enough coal to meet local demand for winter heating. Oxbow Vice President of Mining Mike Ludlow said the company is currently working on finding a replacement for the mine's 800-foot-long longwall miner and some other mining equipment. Ludlow previously told the Denver Post the company was forced to abandon the $100 million piece of equipment after underground heating deep in the mine made it too dangerous for workers to enter. Colorado Mining Association President Stuart Sanderson tells KVNF the lost production at Elk Creek is no small thing when it comes to the impact at the state level.
The three coal mining operations in the North Fork in Delta and Gunnison counties are very important to the state's economy. In fact, coal mining in that region accounts for nearly half of the state's coal production overall.
Sanderson says the slowdown at Elk Creek over the past 30 years has been a big factor, although not the only one, in the nearly 20% production drop for the state in 2013. When asked whether he thinks the mine could feasibly get back to its former production levels, Sanderson said simply, never count the coal industry out.
I have learned over the years never to say never, but not to discount from the fact that this is a serious situation.
Oxbow Mining is owned by billionaire Bill Koch. The Elk Creek Mine was opened in 2001. The company is currently looking into developing more coal reserves in the Oak Mesa area of the North Fork Valley. Officials with the city of Ouray are reviewing their so-called 2020 Economic Development Plan, launched in 2008 as a way to guide Ouray's economy to the year 2020. As The Watch reports, city official Rick Knoll said at a recent community meeting that while many of the plan's goals had been met, some of them may be unachievable and may need to be reconsidered. Meanwhile, the town's Community Development Committee has added some new proposals to the plan. According to The Watch, the plan breaks down Ouray's economy into its important sectors, revenue sources like arts, culture and adventure tourism, renewable energy, education, and events. So far, the tourism sector has been most successful at meeting the goals of the 2020 plan, with annual sales tax revenues from the industry growing by 6.5%. Among the new goals added to the plan when it comes to tourism are increasing marketing grants and harnessing the potential for an expanded winter tourism season. Knoll told The Watch he'd like to see the city attract and create more entrepreneurial opportunities as well. Senator Mark Udall is expected in Chaffee County today to unveil new proposed legislation that would declare Browns Canyon a national monument and wilderness area. The Arkansas River runs through Browns Canyon, and if passed, the bill would declare 22,000 acres of land from Nathrop to Salida a national monument and an additional 10,500 acres as protected wilderness. Mike Ciccone is the senator's spokesman.
Over the last 18 months, he's been working side by side with Chaffee County leaders, residents, businesses, and other stakeholders to develop legislation to create a Browns Canyon National Monument and Wilderness Area. So he's developed this community-driven bill to ensure that future generations like him can enjoy Browns Canyon's unique mix of whitewater and wilderness.
Friends of Browns Canyon, a regional group that has worked to protect the area, says such a move would preserve the land and recreation along the Arkansas for years to come. The Colorado River Basin Roundtable recently told a group of Front Range water interests looking for new water sources to stay away from the western slope. As the Aspen Times reports, the group is concerned about interests on the Front Range looking to western Colorado to make up for the water shortages. The Roundtable Group, which is one of nine created by the state legislature, agreed to send their message to the Interbasin Compact Committee. According to the Times, that committee is currently looking for more water from new supplies and also from conservation and new water storage systems. Meanwhile, some of the other water roundtables across the state are pushing for those new water sources to be explored on the western slope. A paper sent from the Colorado Roundtable to the Front Range water interests said looking for new water supplies in the western part of the state could threaten the region's river ecosystems and recreational opportunities. Last month, Paonia lost a good friend and neighbor, our barber, Pete Paulus. Rob Miller was a patron of Pete's and offers this eulogy.
Back when KVNF was at the old building, Don and Wally would look out their window every Saturday morning and tell the listeners a pot of gold that they could see Pete's red, white, and blue barber pole right across the street. Wally would ask, "I wonder what our listeners can see out their windows, Don?" And Don would reply, "Yeah, everybody, what do you see out your window?" I went to Pete for haircuts for a good few years. I think I might have missed his prime in terms of his skills with the scissors. By the time I was a regular, his hands had become a little shaky. But I didn't go into Pete's barbershop for a haircut as much as I did the stories. Pete was born here in 1932, helped into the world by his father because the unpaved roads were too muddy for the doctor to make it to their house. Pete grew up in Paonia. As a teen in the mid-40s, Pete worked the window and sold movie tickets at the Paradise Theater. He told me he remembered seeing Gone with the Wind at the theater as a kid. Later, he enlisted in the Navy and served 4 years aboard the USS Valley Forge from 1952 to 55 during the Korean War. In the hull of that ship, that's where Pete first learned to cut hair. He became the ship's barber, and in 1956, Pete returned to Paonia and opened Pete's Barbershop. And for 57 years, he cut hair. He cut his grandpa's hair, his great-grandson's hair, and everyone in between, six generations. And if you're a guy living in Paonia, there's a good chance Pete cut your hair, too, at some time. For a boy growing up in Paonia, getting a haircut from Pete, usually your first real haircut was a rite of passage. On August 10, 1957, Pete married the love of his life, Evelyn Maddox. Pete and Evelyn remained in Paonia and raised four children. The couple celebrated their 56th anniversary this year. I remember telling Pete about picking in the park for the first time, and I invited him to come check it out, and he did. I'll never forget seeing Pete and Evelyn holding hands watching the music, sitting on folding chairs in the park off to the side of the crowd so it wasn't so loud. I'm pretty sure that Pete and Evelyn ate lunch together every day, and it's safe to say in all my years I don't think I've seen a happier, sweeter couple than Pete and Evelyn. Pete Paulus spent his whole life in Paonia and died in his home on Friday, November 8th. He was 81. We'll miss you, Pete.
Indeed. Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, this is Brian Cambria.